Prepare ye the way of the Lord. In the name of the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. When I was a kid, I was mildly obsessed with the musical Godspell. Go figure, right? A retelling of Matthew's gospel set to music. I would march around the house, stereo blaring, singing those words at the top of my lungs while wearing a cape and using a fire poker as a scepter. This was a long time ago. We don't do things like that anymore, and it's probably for the best. It was as if I were landed gentry and the scepter was a visible sign of the Lord's power. It was all very British and mannerly, of course. Until the part in the score where the electric guitars kicked in and the scepter became a Stratocaster and I looked a little less like the monarchy and a whole lot more like Eddie Van Halen, which is just a different kind of nobility, in my humble opinion. How do we prepare for a Lord? If you watch The Crown, you understand this to mean flags are raised and flown. Silver is polished until it is gleaming. The china pattern must marry with the stemware, and both should represent symbolically the Lord being lauded at the soiree. Revered in historical art, an object are thoughtfully displayed. The music is orchestrated to be perfectly complementary to the meal, which features several courses of the freshest, most prized delicacies with accompanying storied wines from the four corners of the world. The guest list is unbelievable. There are dignitaries and foreign heads of state. There are authors and composers and Nobel laureates and artists, activists, playwrights, poets, sports icons, inventors. After the feast, there are surely the perfect cocktails to imbibe as the fireworks show begins and everyone oohs and ahs appropriately as the night draws to a wonderful close. This is not how the Gospel of Mark begins. And sadly, it is not how it ends. It should be noted here that the Gospel of Mark is meant to be read and shared aloud. That's the way it was first conveyed, and that is how it is written. It is rough in places, wild, a bit like a first draft or a table read. The story is raw, uncut, unedited, tight, taut storytelling at its very best. It assumes no embellishment is needed, for the merit of the story being relayed is stronger when shared without somehow needing to make it bigger. The story is the birth of God incarnate. It is big enough. Let's start there. I'm not going to admonish you all this morning with tales of materialism and the stranglehold it has on the Christmas season or the busyness of our lives during the holidays that perhaps make us overindulge or overcommit, overspend, or overthink this moment we are called to celebrate this season of the year. You've heard that sermon a million times on Christmas Eve. You've seen it preached through a stunning monologue in a beloved holiday movie, no doubt, year after year. The sermon David Niven preaches at the end of The Bishop's Wife springs immediately to mind. Or perhaps these simple but stirring words from Dr. Seuss. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? Mark's gospel is full of subtle and striking imagery throughout. There is referencing of the prophet Isaiah and a voice crying out in the wilderness. There are paths to be made straight. There are crowds of people gathering and visions of the Judean countryside. And then there's John, replete with hair shirt and a heavy leather belt secured at his waist. He eats only locusts and raw honey, and he preaches of an unknown Messiah. He is baptizing people anew, awash in expectation of future things. The saving waters of the Jordan giving healing life. It begets an air of enchantment and excitement on a cosmic scale, and yet John is totally of this world. He preaches pointedly to the crowds he is baptizing in the hope that his words will help the people prepare the way for the one who is to come, the Lord. Even the first verse harkens back to Genesis, the hard earth, the cool waters, the countryside, the camel's hair, the locust flesh, the bee's first honey. God spoke all things into existence with the word. It would seem that we are not the only ones who have prepared for his coming. And it would seem it has been this way from the very beginning. Christ present and involved at the time of creation. Creation present and involved at the time of Christ's birth. God incarnate forever tethered to us in simplicity and complexity of this life and of love itself. For the past few months, I have made friends with the spider on my back porch. She has chosen to weave her web right in front of the door frame of the back door. And as such, I thought it best we get to know one another. I have watched her work tirelessly day after day to build this stunning web. She is thoughtful in her movements. Holes and tears are mended. Tiny bits of fuzz, tiny leaves, sticks, and seeds are all dispensed with. Her skill is not only a testament to her strength, but also her beauty. And I have told her so on many an occasion. She will sometimes go over one area many, many times, first laying the web, then retreating and backing it up, laying it again and again until it seems almost perfect or she seems almost satisfied. She does not work for the sake of working, I believe, but rather to be intentional in her planning and progress. I have watched with interest her devour her prey and rest once satiated. I have seen her egg sac so gently and lovingly deposited just above our door. She is determined to see this through until the end, no matter the difficulty. I tell you this because I think this is how we are to prepare for the Lord. We do our homework, our due diligence, if you will. For the next 2 weeks, or on through Epiphany, if you're a good Episcopalian, instead of thinking of Christ as a child, let us perhaps think of him in the way that God intended, as himself, all-powerful, all-knowing, ineffable, hurled to earth, helpless among us. What kind of trust must that entail? What will provide comfort beyond Mary's breast? Is it people? Is it gifts prepared for a king? Is it choirs of angels announcing his birth in voice and song? Or is it rather moonlight or starlight, wakening a sleeping world to a new covenant, or the flicker of a beeswax candle, or the warmth of a small fire awakened in the world? Could it be the mewing of a lamb, the soft warmth of the breath of cattle, the curiosity of the cat as it circles the barn, or the swallow as it sings our Savior to sleep? Creation has been alive and working towards this moment since time began, forever creating, evolving, contributing to the unceasing voice of God, calling us into uninterrupted communion and assuring us, in our limited understanding, of our place and of our service within this glorious and wonderful world. Creation, by its very nature, demands we slow down, heed the call of sacramental time, feel the earth from which we were created under our feet, find unmitigated healing in the waters, and breathe the very spirit of Christ from within ourselves. It beckons us in mystery this wintry season through the long shades of sunset, the chill of the wind as it whistles through the pines, and the smell of rich rain after too long an absence. It summons our souls in the solitude of the first frost of the fields and the aching stillness of what is yet to be. Advent calls to us much the same. It requires us to be penitential, but also cautiously joyful. It asks us to see God in all things so that when God arrives, we who have been called to serve him will not question the absurdity of welcoming the Lord who arrives in darkness, without fanfare and pomp, in the body of a newborn infant, bloody, sweaty, messy, wild, wonderful, unremarkable, and yet markedly miraculous. May the coming days stretch out infinitely before us. May they seem to last forever in the quiet surrender of creation. May we too cry out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," and may we indelibly be changed by what this can offer us long after we have left Bethlehem. Amen.